Matthew 26 and verse number 39, and he went a little further. Here we have a little text that initially may seem merely incidental. But as we look at it in a little bit more detail, we discover that in reality, it is monumental. It's a remarkable verse of Scripture. He went a little farther. We have been using 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We have been using that verse of Scripture to apply our studies in the Garden of Gethsemane to our own lives. Peter calls us to follow in his steps. And as we follow our Lord's footprints in the garden, we discover that he went a little farther. And is it not reasonable, and is it not becoming of the Christian, the child of God, that we also go a little bit farther into the will of God for our lives? If we are earnest and in earnest today about living to the glory of God and living the Christian life and following in our Savior's footsteps and following his footprints even here in the garden, it is inevitable that we too must go a little farther. You know, the idea has become very prevalent, and I believe it's a false idea, that being saved is nothing more than asking Jesus into your heart, having your sins forgiven, and then kind of being stagnant throughout the rest of our lives spiritually, and by the grace of God, one day getting to heaven. I believe that a Christian is not only a person whose sins are forgiven, but a Christian is somebody who knows the Lord and walks with the Lord. This is life eternal, Jesus Christ said, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Paul said, as ye therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so also walk ye in him. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we freely acknowledge that there are many times in our Christian life and experience whenever we are not walking with the Lord the way we ought. Sometimes we stumble and fall. Oftentimes we make mistakes. Sometimes, like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, we turn aside and we think there's maybe some easier way. But by and by, the desire of the Christian ought to be to please their Master, and by God's grace, to keep going on and even to go a little farther. And I want to speak this morning for a little while about this verse of Scripture, going a little farther. I've just got 2 points this morning. First of all, we're going to have a short exposition of the text. And then secondly, there's going to be a simple application of the truth. An exposition of the text, and then the application of the truth. Look at verse number 39 again of Matthew 26. And he went a little further into the garden, into fellowship with his Father, and even further into the will of God. I want you to think about something here as we look at this text. He went a little farther. I want you to think about the desire that our Savior had. The desire that our Savior had. The desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Master and Lord, was ever and always and only to do the will of his Father. In John chapter 4 and verse number 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That statement, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, is meaning my ambition in life, my reason for living in this earth, my chiefest joy, the thing that thrills my soul, and the thing that I live for more than any other thing, is to do the will of my Father, to follow on and to do His will completely, and to do His will only. And in doing that, He had to go a little farther. And that was His great desire, to go farther, deeper into the will of God in His earthly ministry. Now we might ask the question this morning, had the Lord not already gone far enough? After all, He had left the splendor of glory, and He had come down into the sin-cursed earth, and He had been conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Was that not far enough? Did He not go far enough whenever He went as a little boy into Egypt, having come out of Bethlehem? And did He not go far enough whenever He went to Nazareth? And then as He commenced His earthly ministry round about Galilee and Capernaum and all of those other places and ministered, did He not go far enough when He went into the wilderness and for 40 days and for 40 nights was tempted of the devil? Did He not go far enough whenever He ministered to the least and lowest of society? Did He not go far enough whenever He crossed the Sea of Galilee? No, He was always endeavoring to go a little further. And as He pressed on into the will of God, that would ultimately take Him to a cross and then to a tomb and then to an upper room, and then back into glory itself. And then one day to the air for the saints, and then to the earth to reign. He's always endeavoring to go a little further into the will of His Father in heaven. That was His great and His chief desire, to do the will of God, and that would ever take Him a little further. And here we see the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, reaches the gates of the garden, leaves about 8 of the apostles at the gate, takes Peter and James and John deeper into the garden. They sit down, and meanwhile the Lord Himself goes a little farther. It was ever His desire to progress. It was ever His desire to pray. And it was ever His desire to please. You know, you can never go too far with God. Doesn't matter how far the Lord has led us right up until this point in our lives. Doesn't matter really what crosses we've borne up until this point, what valleys we've passed through, what mountains we have climbed, what heights we have scaled. We can always go a little farther with our God. And that should ever be the desire of the Christian. I wonder this morning, child of God, what is your desire this morning? Is it your desire to be like the Savior and to go a little farther? The desire He had. And then we could think as well, as He went a little farther, about the direction He went. Mark's Gospel tells us in Mark 14 and verse number 35, He went forward a little. That's how Mark puts it. Matthew says, and He went a little farther. But then Mark tells us the direction that He went. He went forward a little. Our Lord Jesus Christ was never in the habit of going back. He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He's going to go forward. He's going to go through with the will of the Father. And here in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, He went forward a little. Went forward a little. That's the direction that He went. He was ever in the habit of going forward. You know, David Livingstone once said, I am prepared to go anywhere, provided be forward. I am willing to go anywhere, provided it be forward. You know, going back in the Christian life should not really be an option at all. Losing ground with God should not really be something that enters into our thoughts, that, well, I've gone so far, and if I take a few steps backward, and if I turn to the side, or I backpedal a little bit, or I turn round and lose a little bit of ground, well, that's an option. It shouldn't be an option at all, because If we are to follow in the footsteps of our Lord, it should ever be our desire to go one direction, and that direction is forward. Whenever the children of Israel come out of their slavery and their bondage in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, and as they began to make their way through the wilderness, and they came to the banks of the Red Sea, and they began to panic, and they wondered what the future held for them, God said to Moses, "Speak thou unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." There's only one way for the Christian, one legitimate way for the Christian to go, and that's forward. And now our Lord is showing us here in the Garden of Gethsemane this very principle. He went forward a little, ever endeavoring to go forward. And then you'll notice as well the distance that he traveled. And he went a little further. He went forward a little. Or as it says in Luke's account of this great scene, Luke 22 and 41, about a stone's cast. Now we cannot possibly say how far that was. The stone's cast is really just a phrase that determines an indefinite distance, but it's not a long distance. It's just a little. I could take a stone here and I could throw it just over the pulpit here. I could throw it to the doors of the church. I could throw it as far as I can, but it's not really going to go on that far. It'll probably not even reach the gates or the fence of our church. And so it's just a short, a little vague, indefinite distance, but we know that it's not very far. But we learn from that every inch counts with God. Every inch counts with God, and God takes notice, the Holy Spirit takes notice of the smallest gains that we get in the Christian life. We might look at our lives and we might say, "I'm not progressing very much as a Christian. I haven't traveled all that far with God. I don't seem to be making great strides or gaining great ground. And as far as the distance that I've traveled for and with the Lord, and I look back and it might only seem like a very little bit. Maybe just a stone's cast." Well, praise God, we have a God in heaven that doesn't despise that. Every inch, every step, every little bit of ground gained for God and traveled with God, God does not look upon that and God does not despise that. We are called in Scripture not to despise the day of small things, and I don't believe our God looks at us and despises the day of small things in our lives. And maybe you look at yourself and maybe you even despise, and you look at your Christian experience thus far with contempt, and you maybe look at it with shame and you say, "I haven't gone all that far with God." But you can say, "Well, I've gone a little distance with Him. And it's my desire, if God gives me grace, to go a little bit farther." And maybe you look at others and you deem them, and we might get it all wrong, but you deem that person to have gone a lot further than you have. But don't despise how far you've traveled with the Lord, because every inch counts with God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse number 30, the Lord speaks to the children of Israel about their enemies and says, "I will drive them out from before you little by little." Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." And so often we look for the big things and the great things and the flash in the pan experiences. We think that all of a sudden we're going to do some type of spiritual long jump and we're going to jump from here and all of a sudden end up far, far down the road. But if we're going to follow the footsteps of our Savior and follow the example of our Lord, maybe the distance we'll travel at times is just a very little bit. But God does not despise little gains in the Christian life. I think as well, as we think about this verse, and he went a little bit farther, we could think about the difficulty that he faced. Because it says in verse number 38, the previous verse, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther. And it certainly was not easy for the Lord to go a little bit farther. It's my conviction that our Lord has gone as far as it was humanly possible for him to go at that very moment. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And that never changed at any juncture in his earthly life or ministry. He took to himself, however, at the same time, a true body and a reasonable soul. And that body that the Lord took to himself was a body that was subject to infirmity. And the soul that the Savior possessed was a soul that would plumb the depths of sorrow. And he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And for him to be sustained, and to be enabled even to go a little bit farther, Luke says, just at this same juncture, in his account of the Garden of Gethsemane, that there appeared an angel from God to strengthen him. And that would indicate to me that the Lord in his humanity had gone as far as it was physically possible for him to do. So much so that God the Father sent an angel to strengthen him, to enable him to go even just a little bit farther into the very garden itself. It shows us Christ's humanity here, and in going forward with God, he had reached the very end of his strength, humanly speaking. And so it was very difficult for him to go forward. And maybe in your Christian life and experience you can testify that you have gone so far, but maybe you find yourself here this morning and you're facing a very real valley, and you find yourself at a very low point, and you find yourself at a very dark place, and humanly speaking you find it very difficult to go any further. Maybe something has discouraged you in the Christian life. Maybe some sin or temptation has held you back. Maybe some friend or loved one has let you down. Maybe there's been a discouragement in your home or in your family. Maybe you've been downcast within your soul and you've been discouraged and depressed. And to even go just a little bit farther with God for you is a very difficult thing. But then there's also, I believe, the determination that he showed. Look at verse number 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." He pointed to a place in the garden and said to his disciples, "That's the place that I'm going to." Right there, he had a spot picked out, a trysting place with God, and he says, "That's where I'm going to go." And then the narrative says in verse number 39, "And he went." He says, "I'm going to go," and he pointed to the place. And then it says, "And he went." His purpose of heart was to go there. He said he was going to go, and he went. Now, it's easy to make vows and it's easy to make promises to God and even to others and say, "I'm going to go to such and such a place. I'm going to do such and such a thing. I'm going to go through with God. I'm going to press on with God." But the great challenge is, do we have the determination to go through with God? The Savior, before he got to the garden, told a great number of parables at the close of his earthly preaching ministry. And in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 28, he says, "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. And then the Lord said, which of them, whether of them twain, did the will of his father? And the disciples rightly said, the first. Initially, whenever the Lord, the Father came and says, I want you to do this, he says, no, I can't do that. And then whenever he went away and thought about it, he at last yielded and surrendered and says, well, yes, then I will. But the other says, well, yes, I will do that, but he didn't. You see, actions speak much louder than words. And we can fall into the very real trap of thinking that because we believe or understand or know or even purpose in our heart to fulfill some plan or promise or principle of God's word, that that's almost as good as doing it. We believe in prayer, but are we praying? We believe in spirit-filled living, but are we living spirit-filled lives? We believe in consecration, but are we really consecrated? The determination that Jesus Christ showed. He says, I go, and he went. Then just in closing this morning, we have thought a little bit about the exposition of the text, and he went a little farther. What about the application of the truth? This text of Scripture is a great challenge to our complacency. So often we conclude we have gone far enough and we have done enough and we have come so far, especially whenever we're on the road a little bit longer. And we look back maybe to our youthful days and Christian service and Christian witness, and we can talk about our youthful zeal and our youthful exuberance and all of the things that we used to do. But friends, where are we now? And maybe we look back and the reality is that we haven't really gone even on a little bit at all. We're saved perhaps and stuck. But Christ is our example here. He's left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Do we expect our Lord to go such a distance for us? And it's acceptable for us to go no distance at all for him? And we can be like the people in the days of Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 at ease in Zion. Whenever Joshua was an aged man, God spoke to him in Joshua 13 and verse 1 and says, Joshua, there remaineth much land or much ground still to be possessed. Joshua, you have come so far, you have fought so many battles, you have gained so much ground, you have led the children of Israel on so well, and you have gone so far yourself. But Joshua, there's still a lot of ground to be possessed. Joshua, it's reasonable that you could still go even a little bit further. Let us never think that we have arrived. Let us never look at others, even outside of our own camp or our own denomination, and think, well, we're not where they are, whenever we ourselves know that there's still so much ground to be possessed. There must ever be progress in the Christian life. We must ever be going on the acid test of reality as progress. The author of the book of Hebrews says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And granted, whenever you've been on the road a little while and you discover that the Christian race is not a sprint, but it's a marathon, and you get maybe towards the end of the finishing line and you get very, very heavy and very, very weary and maybe tired and exhausted, and it's very difficult to press on, but yet press on we must. Because the vital thing in the Christian life is that we go forward. You cannot tread water in the Christian life. We're ever swimming against the current. And to try to stay in the one place means that inevitably we find ourselves going back. We must ever strive to go a little farther. My father used to always tell me, and he was speaking in a secular sense, it's always the second mile that counts. I remember getting my first job, and he said to me before I had my first day of work, he says, now remember, it's the second mile that counts. It's not just doing the things that you're asked to do and trying to do them well, but just going that little bit further. That's the thing that makes the difference. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught that very principle in Matthew chapter 5 and 41. He says, if somebody compels you to go with them 1 mile, he says, go two. That's the thing that'll make a difference. Speaking to the Jewish people, he says, now whenever some Roman soldier comes along and sets down his equipment and says to you, carry that equipment for a mile, he says, you carry it the second mile. You go a little bit further than everybody else. And that will cause them to wonder, now why did you do that? And if we went a little bit further in our civic duties and our duties in the workplace, our duties even in the home, our duties in our relationship a little bit further, does it not say everything? And what about going the second mile with God? And like our Savior, we must ever endeavor to go a little bit farther, even regardless of how difficult or how hard that might be. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about attending more meetings. I'm not talking about sacrificing time, vital time with your family. I'm not talking about ticking boxes, but I'm talking about going on and going deeper with God Himself. You can attend all the meetings in the world, but not go on and go a little bit further with God. Are there areas in your life or mine, whenever we know, if we are absolutely honest, now there's an aspect of my life, and in that aspect of my life, I know I could go a little further. It mightn't even be a big burden to me to go a little bit further, but we all know, don't we, that there are areas in our lives whenever, like our Savior, we could go a little further. What about prayer? Could we not go a little further in prayer? Privately? Spend an extra few minutes at the beginning of the day or the end of the day? Now that's not a big ask. What about 5 more minutes in the place of prayer every day? Just a little further? What about the family altar? What about the public prayer meeting? Do you attend the public prayer meeting at all? And if we do, could we not go even a little bit further and say, now, I'm just going to pray, I'm going to purpose it, I'm going to be there if the Lord permits on Tuesday night, and I'm going to endeavor to go a little bit further than just be there, I'm going to pray. And if I can't even pray audibly, I'm going to make sure that whatever time is given over to prayer, I'm going to certainly seek the Lord and pray with others that pray. And if God gives me grace, I'll even pray a one-sentence prayer. Could we not go a little bit further in the place of prayer? What about our Bible study? What about our reading of Scripture? Could we not spend a few extra minutes every day reading the Word of God? Going a little bit further, going even just a little bit deeper in studying to show ourselves approved unto God? What about here in the local church? Could it be that the Lord would speak to you and say, now, you attend church well, you attend twice most Sundays, but could you go a little bit further? Could you join the church? Could you show commitment to the church? Is there a little bit of work? It might be something very small, but just a little work that you can do, and even in the local church, maybe go just that little bit further. What about in witnessing? Could we go a little bit further? I attended a funeral service recently, and at the service I was speaking to a brother in the Lord who works with the Belfast City Mission in Ballysill in a hard area of North Belfast. And he says, I tramp around the doors and I knock doors. And you know, he says, I have discovered that as a church, as a whole, we have swallowed the lie that nobody wants to listen to what we have to say. He says, that's lies. He says, many people don't want to listen to what we have to say, but I have discovered that there are many people that do want to hear the gospel. And they do want to know God. And they do want to understand who Jesus Christ is and what life's all about. And yet we are so timid because we think and we have swallowed the lie that nobody wants to know. Could we go even just a little bit further in witnessing? Could we even take one of these little forms this morning and say, well, there's a few people I know that aren't saved and have no church connection. And I could go just a little bit further and write down their name and their contact details. And that might be the means of getting them under the sound of the gospel. And I don't even have to go to them personally. Somebody else will do that for me. And just a little thing. And we could go a little bit further in that. What about going a little bit further in sanctification? Dying unto sin and living unto holiness. Could we go a little bit further there? Could we go a little bit further in bearing fruit for Jesus Christ? Could we go a little bit further in spiritual growth? Could we go even a little bit further in our consecration? How much of you, how much of me does God really have? Is everything on the altar for God? Has He got 50% of your heart? 10% of your heart? Is there little things that you're holding back from the Lord? Hudson Taylor was asked at the end of his life, why do you think God blessed your ministry in such a singular manner? You know what he said? He says, because God has got all of Hudson Taylor that there is to have. Granted, he says that mightn't be very much, but what there is, He's got it all. Could we go a little bit further in our consecration? Could we go a little bit further? And this is the real thing. Could we go a little bit further into the very presence of God? The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Every day on this earth was going a little bit further. And could we even go just a little bit further? Perhaps, if we are honest, we could go a lot further. And quite easily, perhaps, we could go a lot further. But even just a little further, would that not be something? To be here this time next Lord's Day and say, you know something? Over the last 7 days, I know in my heart I've gone a little further. Just a little. And I've gained ground for God. And I've set a little bit more time aside to be with the Lord. And it's made a remarkable difference in my life. And I've got a little bit more victory over that sin, whatever it is. And I know that in the next week I will go a little bit further still. And I think I'm maybe a little bit further, closer to be able to witness to that colleague in the workplace or the campus or the neighborhood. And I know the Lord a little bit better than I knew Him 7 days ago. Can't we so easily convince ourselves I've done enough? Couldn't our Lord have said in the Garden of Gethsemane, as His soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death, couldn't He have so easily thrown up His hands and says, Father, I've gone far enough. I've spent 33 years, and every second of those 33 years has been absolutely surrendered and consecrated to You, Father. And Father, I've gone far enough. But no, He went a little farther. And He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Let's endeavor in these days to go a little farther.